Tapes and Scouts, a podcast where two friends review every single movie they watch.
Welcome, everybody. It's Monday. You know what that means?
No.
It's Double Max Monday.
Whoa.
You know what dawns on me? We haven't properly promoted Superliminal Films and the second half of Double Max Monday. And because your half of it does tend to come out later, I don't promote it properly. And I want to, right now, make up for that. So Superliminal Films, Shorts, Twitch, Max, hit me with it.
Yes, you can hear me on this.
Yes.
You are now. This is me. Hi, how are you? And you have Did You See, which is a podcast where Dan and I talk about cool nerd news that comes out on Mondays when Dan isn't busy with a newborn child. He may not be by now. You don't know. He may be very busy by now. I don't know.
Dan, right now listening to this, preparing to currently put up a second half of Double Max Monday that we're promoting right now.
Putting the pressure on him.
Oh, it's okay. The kid's more important. Trust me.
It's true.
It's just a hashtag. You know? It's not important.
Yeah, it's fine. I've cried my tears
with Max.
We have them in a cup.
We have them in a cup that we're gonna drink.
We also have a 2-liter bottle full of sperm.
That's a little bit weird. Why did we do that?
You said it was a good idea.
Yeah, why? I don't remember why. Should we keep doing it?
All I heard was 2-liter of sperm, and I didn't need to hear why.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, that was it.
But I seem to have forgotten the why. Do we just keep filling them up and hope something happens?
Yeah, I thought that was the plan.
All righty. I want to move on to a 3-liter.
Okay.
Anyways, let's talk about movies.
Please.
Would you like to go first, or would you like me to go first?
I want to go first because the book ends nicely with Texas Chainsaw Massacre from the last one.
Do the thing.
I watched Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
No shit.
Yeah, 1974, the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I watched this in March because there wasn't much more of a massacre than what happened in March.
Ooh.
It was 1 hour and 30 minutes, the perfect number as you've described.
I really believe it.
And it is a horror movie. It's directed by Toby Hooper, and it stars Marilyn Burns, Gunnar Hansen, and Edwin Neal. The summary of this movie is a group of five friends driving through Texas fall victim to a family of cannibalistic psychopaths and must survive the terrors of Leatherface and the rest of the Sawyer clan.
Terrifying people.
Yes, absolutely. This movie is the last horror movie that I have ever seen that scared me. I watched it when I was 13 or 14. It was on Halloween. Everybody went out trick-or-treating, and I was like, I'm going to stay home. And I had rented some horror movies. I was like, I'm going to watch this. And I watched it at home in the dark. I was so scared, I couldn't even move to turn the lights on.
Wow.
I just sat there with the tape running. It rewound itself and everything.
It started playing again.
It didn't start playing again. It wasn't one of those VCRs. It just stopped, and it just the TV blew. Like, I just could not move. I was frozen in terror from this movie. It scared the shit out of me. I thought it was like everybody who sees it. I think you think it's it has that snuff quality that makes you think it's real.
Right. It is a wild movie.
It is.
You don't get movies like this anymore.
No. It is frightening. It is subtle. The more you watch it, the more little hints you pick up on. Like, I don't know how many times I watched it before I realized that they were cannibals, you know what I mean? Like, just fully, like, eating people and serving them as food at the gas station.
Right.
Like, just little subtle nuances that they don't over-explain. You can watch a movie, you can go back and watch it 4 or 5 times before you pick up on these little hints. All the disturbing things, the dead body that's stuck on top of the cemetery, and then the tie into Ed Gein with all that. Like, there's just so much, and if you start to research the things that inspired Toby Hooper, you get more and more out of the movie. It's amazing how much this movie can give you if you actually just put some time into it. It took the slasher that was picking up the slasher genre that was picking up steam in the 70s and really kind of, you know, it was like, hey, this is for real.
I really enjoy this movie. I think it's terrifying.
Yep.
I really like the shots. There's like long shots of like when they're looking through the door, the screen door, and it's like, where is he? You might get a long shot of him running towards you.
Yeah.
And like, it's terrifying. It's not like he's running a million miles per hour. It's just like, oh crap, there's a terrifying person running towards me.
Yeah.
And I always felt like the brother character was way more terrifying.
Oh yeah.
Than Leatherface.
Yep. When he was running around, when he chases Marilyn Burns out of the house at the end with a straight razor, and he's just like, It's like,
right.
It's demented.
Yes.
Of all the things to run out of the house with a weapon, not a weapon to kill somebody, but he's going to let her just bleed out while she runs because he's going to hit her with a straight razor like 15, 16 times. So like this movie is so terrifying across the board. Like you said, like there's the scene where she has Franklin and they're out in the woods and you just see the chainsaw, like it's right behind her.
Yep.
And like the way they shoot it when he's cut, it's like, is this real? Like, is this a real movie? Like, did this really happen to somebody? Like, I don't understand what's going on here. It's just so gross. It's so nasty. The sound design is fantastic. It matches it perfectly. It's just a really harsh movie to watch. It is in my top horror movies of all time.
As it should be.
It's just so good. It's so raw. It's so nasty. Even then, like the tagline, who would be left or what? Who would survive and what would be left of them is so iconic.
Yeah.
It's just, it's a nearly perfect horror film. And it does what a horror film at the end of the day needs to do. And it's horrific. It's not trying to do anything fancy. There's a lot you can get out of it if you want to invest your time and thought into it. But if you just want to be scared shitless, it does that too. It does it all. IMDb, 7.5 out of 10. My phone needs my consent.
I'm not going to give a consent.
It's the 2 liter bottles that you want, or the 3 liter bottles you wanted to order. You don't sell empty 3 liter bottles. You actually have to just buy Shasta.
Oh, I'm not signing off on that.
Okay. All right. All right. Sorry, phone. So Rotten Tomatoes gives this 88%, 60 critics, and the audience gives this 82%. 202,607 of those audience members gave that 82%. I am, for the third time ever.
Is it happening again?
It's getting a 9.8 out of 10 because this movie fucking rules.
Yes. I'm so happy.
Yes.
So happy. I wonder how many 9.8s we're going to run into over the course of this whole podcast.
I can tell you how many 9.9s I'll give, and it's one if I ever watch that movie.
Which you will.
Probably.
At some point. Yep. You have to.
It is my favorite
movie. Every year, right? Every year you watch
maybe.
It, right?
Maybe. Probably.
Yeah. Probably. Come on. True. I'm not going to spoil it. I know what it is.
That's right. We know your favorite movie now.
Ah, crap.
Yep.
You got to watch it.
I know, I need to.
And you can be like, oh, I get it. Tim is messed up. Well, I'm going to talk about a movie.
Please.
It's a funny movie. It's from the year 1990. It's Men at Work.
I see.
When's the last time you watched Men at Work?
I mean, I'm more familiar with Men at Work, the band.
Oh, we can dance if we want to.
Is that them?
No, that was Men Without Hats.
That is Men Without Hats, yeah.
Dang.
Men at Work is Laying Down Under, and Who Can It Be Now?
Who can it be now?
Who can it be knocking at my door?
Who can it be? You know who it is? It's Emilio Estevez.
Oh, Mighty Duckman himself.
That's right, Duckman. Jason Alexander.
Mm-hmm.
Duckman. I love Duckman. Anyways, let's focus. Hello. I watched this in June of this year. It's an hour 38. Pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Your genre action comedy crime. Again, directed by Emilio Estevez. Starring Emilio. His brother, half-brother, Charlie Sheen.
Yep.
And Leslie Hope. Your IMDb movie summary: two garbage men uncover a conspiracy involving toxic waste dumping and decide to bring the whole operation down.
Interesting.
I don't like that summary very much.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot more, these two guys have a crappy job. Everyone treats them like crap.
Mm-hmm.
They witness a thing they shouldn't have seen, and they have to deal with the consequences. They didn't go out of their way to stop toxic waste. They inadvertently probably do.
Yeah.
But this is it's just that weird area, the 1990, because 80s is very iconic comedy feel to it. This is a little darker, but the jokes in here land pretty good. I think the chemistry between Emilio and Charlie Sheen are amazing.
Carlos Estevez. Okay.
Introducing.
Yep.
There's a couple cringy jokes, but I think Charlie Sheen is so good at being a scumbag character.
Yes.
And in this one, he's kind of a scummy dude, but like he's a good dude at the end.
Good-natured scummy dude. Okay.
Because the whole thing is
title.
Yeah. Good-natured scummy dude. Scummy do? Is it a dog?
Scummy dummy do.
It's just a dog throwing up. This movie's very funny. It does some crazy things I don't want to give away, but basically because they're scummy dudes, they discover something they shouldn't, and that's where the roller coaster kicks in.
And you love goons that run afoul of something worse than goons.
Yeah, there's all kinds of goons, and there's bike cops, and there's all kinds of weird shit in this movie.
Oh, wow.
My bullet points, fucking funny.
Okay.
Sometimes cringy. But, you know, I miss the style of comedy with character and character work. It's less PC, but it's not inhuman. It's not shocky for the sake of being shocky. It's just like we go to that edge and we tiptoe on it and then we'll come back down.
Yeah, that's fair.
Big plot for two trash men to solve.
Yeah.
And the Nixon and pizza guy hostage situation is a nice touch.
That's a sentence.
It's a sentence. Ah, the pizza guy. The pizza dude's great in this. Anyways, this movie, if you haven't seen it, it's very funny. Please seek it out. I think this is a kind of humor we just don't get anymore.
How did you find it? Is it on the streamings?
It's on the streamings.
Okay, just Google it, people.
Google it, people, because
it'll come right up under its title.
It might even be different now anyways, so who knows?
That changes sometimes month to month.
I actually think this was on HBO.
There you go.
Doesn't matter. IMDb score, 6.0.
Okay.
Rotten Tomato critics, 27 critics went back and gave it 30%.
Yikes.
I don't agree with that. That's a little rough. Rotten Tomato audience, 45% out of 33,000 some odd people.
Okay.
I actually gave it a 7.0.
Okay.
And it's mainly on the dialogue and just what is actually being accomplished. It's not so large. It's not really them trying to stop this big corporation from toxic dumping. It's, hey, we're two trash dudes and we saw some thing that we didn't agree with. We better take care of it.
Right. Interesting.
Max, take us somewhere that isn't as stinky as Two Garbage Men.
Okay. I have 2019's Shaft.
Oh, wait, that's wrong.
That's Flash.
Oh.
I watched...
Who is man?
There you go. Yes, there you go. Now we're talking.
Not doing that the whole time.
Damn it. Thank you. I watched this in March of 2020. It is 1 hour and 52 Shaft minutes. Its genre is action blaxploitation. It was directed by Tim Story 3. It's just Tim Story, but I feel like adding the 3 makes it sound like Toy Story more.
Yeah?
Yeah. I didn't say you could stop. Thank you. Starring Jesse Usher, who is A-Train from The Boys. We got just that part.
I feel like the worst train ever.
The train's not going to get there on time.
Alexandra Shipp, Sam Jackson, and the original Shaft, Richard motherfucking Roundtree.
Mm-hmm.
So,
great dude.
The summary of this movie, J.J. Shaft, a cybersecurity expert, enlists the help of his family to uncover the truth behind his best friend's untimely death.
Bum, bum, bum.
This is a Tim-level generic-ass plot.
It is.
Like, if I just read to you, a cybersecurity expert enlists the help of his family to uncover the truth behind his best friend's untimely death, you would hard pass on this movie, probably.
Doesn't sound great. Why do you got to recruit your family?
Right. And then you add in his name is J.J. Shaft.
Oh, now it makes sense.
Now you're like, he's a bad mother.
Shut your mouth.
I'm just talking about Shaft.
But which Shaft?
So my thoughts on this movie are some cool ideas, but the overall plot is pretty milquetoast. The action sequences and set pieces are okay, but nothing to really write home about. They're fine. They're not bad by any stretch. It's just like your review of, was it Into the Dark? Recently?
Dark,
Lumberjacks?
Dark Was the Night.
Dark Was the Night. Thank you.
Not with Marissa.
Not with Dark Was the Night, just where it was like, this could have been really good, and there are parts of it that are promising, but it just never kind of fully lands.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jesse Usher is very likable in the role. I think that bringing back both Samuel L. Jackson and Richard Roundtree to reprise their Shafts is terrific, and
it's
certainly
cool.
A sentence. Yep. I think, Shaft. Yeah. So I think it's a really interesting idea. But I liken it to going to a really cool restaurant that has really bland food.
Yes.
Where it's like, man, I really want to go to Johnny Rocket. So they sing when songs come on and like it's really cool. Or CeCe's when you order, you know, taco pizza, the yellow lay. And then you go there and you're like, this pizza's not good.
Olé!
I can eat as much as I want and I don't want any.
Aww.
Sorry, CeCe's, you suck. It is a cool but unremarkable film from a story and execution standpoint on the whole. IMDb gave this 6.4 out of 10.
Okay.
Critics, 126 critics. Now, this is interesting, the critic versus audience score.
All right.
So critics are 126, audience 7,727 people.
Okay.
We need like, what, 50 more people to review this so we can have 7,777 people review. But
get on it, people.
Critic score, 33%.
Hmm.
Audience score, 94%.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah. That is a huge valley. And then you have IMDb somewhere in the middle at a 6.4.
Yeah, they're like the difference between the two scores.
Yeah, it's a pretty wild difference.
I don't like seeing that. I always like it to be closer.
Yes. At least if it's bad, it's bad. If it's good, it's good. But it's just weird to see the critics going, there's nothing really much here. But the audience going, hey, this was a lot of fun to watch. It is a very easy to watch action film that's fun. You'll have a good time. I think the average audience viewer is not going to dislike Shaft.
Will they learn something?
No, not really.
Good. Yeah.
But I gave this a 6 out of 10. Did not enjoy it, just was hoping for a little more.
Seems like IMDb has been on point as of late.
I know. It always scares me.
I know. I'm going to cry. It's weird. Well, I'm going to take us home. You ready?
Please.
The year 1995.
Ooh, 5 years ahead of your last one.
That's right. I'm in a 90s funk.
Okay.
This may be a movie you've seen. It is a horror, but it's more of a horror sci-fi.
I thought you were trying to say whore. Now I'm not interested anymore.
It's about whores.
Oh, now I'm interested.
There's this werewolf whore.
Oh, I love werewolf whores.
Yeah, they tear you right apart.
They do.
This movie's called Project Metal Beast.
I've never even heard of this movie.
All right, good. Here we go. I watched it in the middle of June some point. IMDb minutes, 1 hour, 32 minutes, so it's got the right time.
Okay.
Genre horror, sci-fi, like I said. Directed by Alessandro De Gaetano.
Okay.
Starring Kim Delaney, Kane Hodder.
Oh, I like Kane Hodder.
And Barry Boswick.
Oh, I like Barry Boswick as well.
This is his vehicle, believe it or not.
Wow.
Your summary. In 1974, an unhinged CIA agent injects himself with the werewolf blood he has found. After a killing spree, his body is put in suspended animation, then thawed out 20 years later by his crazy boss and a team of unsuspecting doctors.
Wow.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack from that description.
That's like Werewolf Demolition Man.
It kind of is.
Okay.
So you get, and Kane Hodder, I'm assuming, was the wolf, because it's just big, crazy, big dude, right?
Yeah, Kane Hodder is, if you're not familiar, Jason Voorhees in the later Friday the 13th, particularly 7 and 8.
Mm-hmm.
And 9?
And he's in a lot of other, if it's horror and there's a big, creepy dude,
He's Victor Crowley, he's in Rennie Harlan's Prison, he's in a ton of movies as a suit actor.
Mm-hmm. So basically, in the 70s, they discover where a werewolf is.
Okay.
They go to where werewolf is and try to get his blood.
Mm-hmm.
The CIA agent successfully does that, brings it back to his boss, which is Barry Boswick. I just feel like the length of having to explain this plot is insane.
It is.
That guy who did all this is a complete douche.
Okay.
And he injects himself with the blood because they're going to try to redo research. He's going to tie things up. He's like, no, just put it in my body.
Okay,
just
sure.
Give me that blood.
Cool. So he's Tim Roth and the Hulk.
It's kind of like that, yes. Okay. Except Tim Roth, way more likable.
Well, we do love Tim Roth.
I do love Tim Roth.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'd let him lie to me. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
So basically, he becomes a killer werewolf and is psychotic on top of that. They manage to take him down. They freeze him. They're like, we're going to dissect your body now, asshole.
Okay.
Then you go flash forward to the 90s, which was present day.
Is this like present day? It's not trying to be the future or anything?
No, it's okay. Present day. And I feel so bad for the doctor characters. It's great how they make you, because this is why it's more sci-fi. It's like, we're using technology to thaw out this monster, but they don't know he's a werewolf.
Because
he's in his human form. And they're doing experimental things with skin grafting.
Okay.
And they're just trying to fix his body that has all these strange things going on with it. And he actually revives too early, and then he starts murdering everybody.
Interesting.
Barry Boswick is so good in this movie. He is the most despicable asshole
I've
ever seen.
That's way cool.
Yeah, he just plays this military guy they can't get around, and then just people start dying. He's like, I still don't give a shit.
Wow.
It's pretty great.
That's pretty cool.
My bullet points, Barry Boswick is a huge D-bag, bigger than normal. It is a very different type of werewolf movie involving military skin grafting research. Just, it's a thinky version of a werewolf movie.
Yeah.
Cool first person camera angles as the werewolf begins hunting.
How neat.
So they're like kind of going through this hospital area, and it's very blurry. Like he just woke up and he just became this form, and there's people running in and they don't notice him. It's very similar to what we were saying about Texas Chainsaw, where like the angles of the camera are super important and convey some fear. Not for everyone, but a must watch for werewolf enthusiasts for a unique plot.
Cool.
IMDb gave it a 4.7.
Okay.
Rotten Tomato critics, nope.
Okay.
Audience, 191 people gave it a 39%.
Okay.
I gave it a 5.5.
Okay.
It's not going to set your world on fire, but it is such an original idea in a very bloated kind of genre.
Okay.
Of just critter genre.
I need you to do me a favor now.
Yes.
Anytime there is an oversized item in the store, I need you to have a tag underneath of it that says bigger than normal.
Bigger than normal.
The huge D-bag. Bigger than normal.
Bigger than normal.
Yeah.
He's not your average D-bag.
No. I love this. It's got to be on everything in the store. Bigger than normal.
Bigger than normal.
Yep.
I can't wait to put that on my belt buckle.
Ooh, bigger than normal.
Bigger than normal. It's still not a lot.
Well, it's a bigger belt buckle.
Oh, right.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh. It says America.
It does. Goodbye.